Welcome back to another episode of In the Money. I'm Roberta King, a Vice President Branch Leader with Fidelity Investments, and with me today is Tony Zhang, Chief Market Strategist of Options Play. Tony is a frequent CNBC guest, and I want to say, Tony, it's so good to see you. Welcome. It's great to be back with you.
Great to see you too, Roberta. A lot to talk about with regards to the markets today.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So today is Thursday, October 17th, and a lot has happened in the economic news. And I'll also add the world news over the past month. And so let's jump right in. I think I speak for not only myself, but also the viewers to say we're interested to hear what your macroeconomic view of the markets are. So Tony, let's do it. What are you observing?
Yeah, let's first take a look at just kind of where we stand. As you say, a lot has happened over the past month or so with regards to the pretty significant shift in terms of the labor market swinging back to positive gains. You obviously have quite a bit of geopolitical tensions in the Middle East. But all in all, you know, if you look at the equity markets, things look incredibly strong. You have, you know, the S&P 500 earlier this week making back-to-back all-time highs. And what is interesting about that is that the S&P making all-time highs, the market cap weighted indices making all-time highs, was confirmed by the equal weight S&P 500 index also making back-to-back all-time highs. And what that really speaks to the fact that is the rally that we're seeing here is actually quite broad. Something that we haven't seen throughout this year has really come back to life is the fact that, you know, all stocks are rising. It's not just a few tech stocks dragging the markets higher. And that overall is, generally speaking, a healthy market condition. You also have the NASDAQ 100, the QQQ, and the Russell 2000 IWM very close to all-time highs as well. And if those two indices can print new all-time highs, that would be a pretty strong confirmation for a bullish signal here for equities. And if you look at sector rotation, you have a fair amount of offensive rotation. You have offensive sectors such as technology, financials, industrials, seeing a fair amount of inflows, and then defensive sectors like healthcare, staples, utilities, you know, seeing a bit of outflow. So, you know, this is really speaking kind of to a risk on type of market that we typically see. Now, the one thing I do want to point out here is despite this bullish backdrop that we're seeing here in equities, the one thing that really that I think is worth pointing to is the fact that the VIX is still trading at 19%, over 19%. This is something that going back into history, I could not find another instance where the S&P 500 made new all-time highs back to back and the VIX was, you know, anywhere above 15%. So this really speaks to the fact that there is a significant amount of nervousness from investors as we hit these new all-time highs, something that we've never seen before. That potentially could be the geopolitical tensions in the Middle East, could be a bit more of the uncertainty around economic numbers that have been a little bit noisy here over the past few months. Obviously, the election coming up, there's obviously a lot of concern around that as well. But, you know, the fact that there's so much concern and hesitation that, you know, for as equities reach these all-time highs, you know, that is also something to be aware of. And that could also be a bit of a contrarian signal here, whereas if things resolve themselves and traders kind of dial back some of their concerns, that could be another thrust for the markets to move higher here. So there's a lot of kind of potential positives for equities right now. And the last thing I want to talk about here is the fact that we're reaching earnings season again. So analysts have slashed Q3 expectations by a fair amount going into earnings season this quarter. Going into, you know, analysts were expecting only about $243 of EPS for the S&P 500. Versus 250 last quarter. So the bar has been set pretty low going into earnings season this quarter. So companies certainly have a better odds at beating earnings expectations. And that could be another driver, another catalyst for equities to continue moving higher here as more companies on average are likely going to beat earnings this quarter.
Thank you so much for that backdrop. Definitely a lot's been happening. You mentioned with the VIX and you had kind of a bit of a historical perspective on that. I'm really curious to know how do historic PE ratios compare in this environment?
That's a fantastic question. And the data is actually incredibly strong on this. Going back, 30 plus years, the correlation between forward PE ratio and 10-year expected forward returns is incredibly strong. And unfortunately, right now we're trading at just around 21, 22 times forward earnings. And the 10-year expected return at those forward PE ratios is unfortunately zero. That doesn't mean that we don't expect potential returns in the next few years, but over the long run, over 10 years, the relationship between forward PE ratio or just PE ratio in general versus 10-year returns is incredibly strong. And going out 10 years at these valuations that we're currently trading at right now is unfortunately zero. And that's something to be concerned about as long-term investors. If you're thinking about buying stocks at these current valuations, that's something to keep in the back of your mind as far as what your expected returns are going to be for the next 10 years.
That's really helpful. Thank you so much for that insight, Tony. So let's get to it. I do understand that you've got two trade ideas for us today, and I want to get started. So if you could share with us the first trade you're looking at to find an opportunity in the market this week.
Yeah, the first trade I want to take a look at is Akamai, which is a trade, which is a company that may not be in most investors' radar. But I will say the AI theme, I'm sure, has been on everyone's radar. And specifically within that theme, I think there are obvious plays like Meta and Nvidia and some of the chip players. However, I think that as the AI theme matures and as investors pay more attention into how these companies are actually going to deliver products to consumers that are going to drive revenue, Akamai, which is a edge server network, is going to be the type of technology, the type of company that may potentially benefit as companies shift more towards inference, meaning delivery of models rather than the training of models, which is what a lot of the hype over AI has been over the past year or so. So as you look at kind of Akamai's network of low latency servers that's going to deliver AI solutions to the end user, closer to the user that has benefits from a security perspective and from a speed perspective, that's going to be appealing, I think, for investors as we go forward, as the AI kind of theme, like I say, matures. If you look at a chart here for Akamai, it recently has been bottoming for the past 6 months or so below this 100 level here. But over the past few weeks, we started to see this breakout here above that 102.5 major resistance level. And that's really something that I think is worth starting to pay attention to from a timing perspective, because as we break out above this major resistance level, we also see the stock outperforming the S&P 500 during the same period. And when you have positive momentum and that outperformance, as it breaks out above a new resistance level after bottoming, that's a signal that this could be the start of a bullish trend, really the reversal from what is a bearish trend into a bullish trend here for Akamai. And then if you look at the business here, I think it's really interesting. There are not many stocks in this particular theme that are trading at 15 times forward earnings, but that's exactly what Akamai is trading at, which is about a 45% discount relative to its industry of around 27 times forward earnings. And yes, their EPS is expected to grow a little slower than the rest of the industry, but I think what's really important is the top line growth. Revenue is expected to grow about 16% over the next couple of years, which is far faster than the industry. And that's really kind of where I think the opportunity lies. So the trade structure that I want to use using options to play this potential breakout here is to go out to the December expiration. I'm looking at buying the 105-120 call spread. So here, what I'm doing is I'm buying the 105 call options and at the same time selling the 120 call options against that. Earlier today, net-net, you can pay about $7 for that debit spread. So you're risking, in this particular case, about 7% of the total stock's value, roughly $700 per contract, to potentially get about just under a 2-to-1 risk-to-reward ratio if it does break out here and resume back to its 120 level that it was trading at a few months ago. So this is really kind of the type of trade structure that I'm looking for, where you can potentially make more than what you're risking on a breakout like this.
Thanks so much for laying out this trade, Tony. So I have two questions on this trade. First, I'm curious to understand, as a part of your thesis, how do you decide whether to use, in this case, a December expiration or something closer like November for us?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. So Because in this particular trade, I'm buying an option here. The primary driver of a debit spread like this is the long December 105 call options. And whenever you're buying a call option or a put option, the time value or time decay of the option is going to work against you. And there are two ways that I can offset that time decay. One is I'm selling that 120 strike against that 105 call option. So I have one strike that I'm short on, and that's going to help offset some of the time decay of the long option I'm purchasing. Time decay works against me in this particular case. But the other way that I can mitigate some time decay is to buy a longer dated option. When you buy a longer dated option, every day you hold on to it, it erodes at a slower pace than if you bought a shorter dated option. So yes, I can buy the November expiration, but I would be paying more in time decay for each day that I hold on to it. So even so, if all things are equal, if I hold on to a December option or a November option for, let's say, 3 weeks' time, the November option is going to decay at a faster rate. So it's all about reducing the amount of time decay that I'm going to see over the lifetime of my trade, and trying to reduce that as much as possible. So by trading a spread and by trading a December spread, I'm offsetting that time decay as much as possible.
Thank you so much for answering that, Tony. So my second question is hypothetical, and it's really around trade management. So let me ask, how would you manage this trade, of course, in December, as we talked about? And let's say AKM is now trading at 115. What would you do to manage that?
Yeah, so my price target here, my true price target here is around $125 here for this particular stock. And from a valuation perspective, I feel very comfortable, being long the stock. And if at December it's at 115, then this trade is going to be profitable. It won't be at a maximum profitability, but it certainly will be profitable. At that point, what I would do is I would simply close out the December 105, 120 call spread that I'm opening up right now. And what I would look at is I would look at recentering that and buying a new debit spread. I would look at buying maybe a 115, 130, or 115, 125 call spread, and basically continue buying further upside exposure using some of the profits that I made from the current trade to fund that new trade. But the idea is that I have a long-term view on this particular trade. If it moves in my direction, as long as it moves in my direction, I'm going to feel comfortable rolling this higher, maybe going out another 2 months and rolling my strikes higher and basically continuing to take bullish upside exposure using a call option like this.
Okay, thanks so much for sharing your logic on that. So let's move on to your second trade of the day, Tony. So can you share with us what else you're considering when we're looking at opportunities this week?
Yeah, Roberta, unlike my first trade where Akamai is a name that not everyone may be familiar with, the second trade that I want to take a look at is a name that almost everyone is familiar with, which is Apple. Apple is currently trading near its all-time highs, and there's a lot of optimism around the iPhone 16 and the upgrade cycle with Apple Intelligence coming out here in just a couple of weeks here. But from my perspective, I think a lot of that optimism is priced in. And I think the bigger problem that I don't think a lot of investors are addressing right now is around the Vision Pro, something that we really don't really talk about very much, but as a product is virtually dead in the water. If you look at September, only 8 new apps were launched for the Vision Pro. Sales estimates have been slashed in half for 2024. Originally, they were estimating maybe about 800,000 units sold in 2024. Right now, they're targeting around 400,000 to 450,000 units. So, considering the fact that this is Apple's big innovation, their future is kind of tied to this. They've spent $130 billion on this project over the last 9 years developing it, and it does not seem to be going particularly well. And the only thing they really have up their sleeve right now is new iPhones, new Macs, new iPads. I really don't see that being a driver of true innovation going forward. And I think for those reasons, I have some concerns about Apple trading at these all-time highs and its ability to continue make new all-time highs alongside with the market. So if you look at the chart of Apple stock, we've reached this kind of double top level at 135, and as as soon as we kind of got up to that level, I'm sorry, 235, as soon as we got up to that level, the stock kind of started trading lower from that. And more importantly, over the past 3, 4 months or so, as Apple kind of reached those recent all-time highs, it's continued to underperform the S&P 500. And when you have momentum diverging with the stock price, there's some signs that there's exhaustion here from buyers. So from my perspective, I think that there's a less likelihood that this stock is going to break out above 235 and continue making new highs. And it's more likely to just pull back into the range that it's been trading in towards that 210 level or so. And more concerning to this is the fact that Apple trades at 31 times forward earnings. So considering it's a hardware stock, and you can argue that there's a software component to it, there's a recurring subscription component to Apple, but trading at 31 times forward earnings, I think is hard to justify when you're only expecting EPS to grow by about 10% and revenue to grow only by about 6%. You know, they do have strong margins, 26% net margins, but I think there's a lot of optimism already priced in. And I do think, unfortunately, there's some downside risks here with Apple trading at these all-time high levels. So the trade structure that I think that makes sense to be able to take maybe not an outright bearish view, but more of a neutral view here for Apple, I think is the right way to think about this, is to go out to the November 29th weekly expiration. And I'm looking at selling the 235, 250 call spread. What I'm doing here is I'm selling the 235 calls, buying the 250 calls. Net net earlier today, you can collect about $4.65 for selling that call spread. And that's going to give you a maximum reward of about $465 and a max risk of a little over $1,000 on this particular trade. And the break-even price here is around 240. So as long as Apple stays below 240, that's going to be the break-even price on a trade like this. And that's going to be profitable if Apple stays where it is or if it drops. And it's only going to be unprofitable if Apple takes off and breaks out to new all-time highs.
Thank you, Tony. Another interesting trade thesis as well as a layout here. I do have a question for you, and maybe it compares a little bit to the first trade you talked about today, which is trading, well, really looking at the risk reward, combination. So it was at almost 1.8x, almost 2 to 1 when assessing the risk versus reward or max loss, max gain. So I'm curious to know in this one, what are the signals that make you feel comfortable placing a trade where the potential risk is actually greater than the reward, kind of like this Apple trade?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there's two factors that come into play here. Whenever you take on selling a credit spread like this, where the potential risk is greater than the potential reward, first of all, the other side of the equation to that poor risk to reward is a high probability of profit, right? So naturally, if all things equal, even if I don't necessarily have a bearish or neutral stance on Apple, my break-even price on this trade is just shy of 240, and the stock's trading around 231, 232. So as long as the stock stays below 240, I'm going to be profitable. So the probability of profit on this particular trade is quite high, and that's what offsets kind of the negative risk reward that you have. But for me, what makes me comfortable with this is really that 235 double top here. I'm expecting that 235 double top to hold. I'm expecting that only if it breaks out above 240, 235 substantially to the upside, do I take a loss on this particular trade. And from that perspective, if it does break out above 235 substantially, I would potentially look at reversing this trade and turning into a bullish trade at that point. But for now, I think I'm going to take a more neutral view here. And it's really because from a technical perspective, I believe that the timing is right to take a neutral view. And also from a valuation perspective, I feel comfortable that valuations are already pretty stretched, and that any future optimism that you may price in around from an innovation perspective, I think there's some concerns around that. So it's really a technical and fundamental thesis that allows me to take this neutral view here on Apple.
Always informative. Thank you so much for answering that, Tony. So before we wrap up today's conversation, can you give us an idea of what's on the agenda for next week?
Yeah, so next week is a little bit lighter on the economic calendar, but what we do have a lot of next week is earnings, a big earnings week coming up. That's going to be the focus for traders next week. You have many major consumer brands that are reporting next week, and that's going to give us a better glimpse into the strength of the US consumer. We had labor markets that looked a little soft here in the middle of the summer, and then September came roaring back. So there's a lot of optimism around that the US consumer is going to remain resilient as the labor market remains strong here, and that's what we're going to get a glimpse into with earnings this quarter.
Very good. We are definitely going to look forward to that. That does bring us to a close. And I want to again thank all of our viewers for tuning in today. Tony, once again, I thank you for bringing us your thoughts and your trade ideas.
Thank you so much, Roberta. It's been a pleasure to be here.
And for our listeners, if you're interested in further details specific to Tony's trade ideas that he shared today, please join us in our midday market briefing, which will be held tomorrow. And you can do that by visiting fidelity.com/in-the-money-follow-up. Also, if you're looking for more insights or you missed today's live show, you can sign up for the Active Investor Weekly newsletter to receive highlights of the trades discussed today. You can visit that by going to fidelity.com/Active Investor Weekly. Next week, we'll be back for another episode of In the Money. Take care.
Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or, if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Options trading entails significant risk and is not appropriate for all investors. Certain complex option strategies carry additional risk. Before trading options, contact Fidelity Investments by calling 800-544-5115 to receive a copy of Characteristics and Risks of Standardized Options. Supporting documentation for any claims, if applicable, will be furnished upon request. There are additional costs associated with option strategies that call for multiple purchases and sales of options such as spreads, straddles, and collars as compared with a single option trade. Technical analysis focuses on market action, specifically volume and price. Technical analysis is only one approach to analyzing stocks. When considering which stocks to buy or sell, you should use the approach that you are most comfortable with. As with all your investments, you must make your own determination as to whether an investment in any particular security or securities is right for you based on your investment objectives, risk tolerance, and financial situation. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Greeks are mathematical calculations used to determine the effect of various factors on options. Views expressed are as of the date indicated, based on the information available at that time, and may change based on market or other conditions. Unless otherwise noted, the opinions provided are those of Options Play and are not necessarily those of Fidelity Investments or its affiliates. Fidelity does not assume any duty to update any of the information. News, commentary, market data, and research reports are from third-party sources unaffiliated with Fidelity, unless otherwise noted, and are provided for informational purposes only. Fidelity does not endorse or adopt third-party content. Fidelity makes no guarantee that the information supplied is accurate, complete, or timely, and does not provide any warranties regarding results obtained from their use. Information provided in the podcast is general in nature, is provided for informational purposes only, and should not be construed as investment or tax advice. Fidelity Investments disclaims any liability for any direct or incidental loss incurred by applying any of the information in this podcast. This podcast is intended for U.S. persons only and is not a solicitation for any Fidelity product or service. This podcast is provided for your personal non-commercial use and is the copyrighted work of FMR LLC. You may not reproduce this podcast in whole or in part in any form without the permission of FMR LLC. Any screenshots, charts, or company trading symbols mentioned are provided for illustrative purposes only and should not be considered as an offer to sell, a solicitation of an offer to buy, or a recommendation for the security. Options Play and Fidelity Investments are independent entities and are not legally affiliated. The third-party trademarks appearing herein are the property of their respective owners. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.